Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. That old school bell reminds you to take your seat and get your Bible, turn up your radio, and be part of this class we're in. We're studying a temperance lesson and using as our text a passage from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 24. And in just a moment, I'm going to begin in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. And I did a little of this in our last class. I want to go back and read that which E.A. Elam wrote from verse 16, because it was so rich and so good. And then we'll proceed on with this lesson. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're going through a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of August the 16th, 1925. This lesson is called A Temperance Lesson. Temperance meaning self-controlled. Let me read to you Galatians 5, 16 through 18. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to the other, that ye may not do the things ye would. But if ye are led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Listen to what Elam said when he came to verse 16. To walk by the Spirit is to take every step in life according to the direction of the Holy Spirit. To live continually as the Holy Spirit directs. The Holy Spirit directs and guides all in becoming Christians and throughout the Christian life by speaking to all the Word of God through the inspired apostles. The Word of God has been revealed by the Holy Spirit. Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 12 that the gospel was preached by the Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven. The Holy Spirit says, deny ungodliness and worldly lust, Titus 2 and verse 11. Put to death your members which are upon the earth, Colossians 3 and verse 5. Put to death the deeds of the body, Romans 8 and verse 13. Put away anger, wrath, malice, railing, and shameful speaking out of your mouth, and lie not one to another, Colossians 3, 8, and 9, and to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life, 1 John 2, 15 through 16, and to set the heart on the things that are above, Colossians 3, and verse 2. All who do these things walk by the Spirit and do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, Romans 3 and verse 14. The flesh, its appetites, desires, and passion lusteth. That is, it longs and strives against the Spirit, the teaching and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh, the appetites, desires, passions, and vain ambitions of the flesh lead in one direction, and the Spirit of God in an opposite direction. This is a continual warfare, that ye may not do the things that you would. No one can live the life of a Christian or even become a Christian who does not desire and purpose to turn away from all sin, to obey God in all things, and to become a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust, 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. Yet with all holy aspirations, earnest prayers and zealous efforts, the weaknesses, passions, and lusts of the flesh present such obstacles and difficulties that one is unable to accomplish what one would, and one could without such hindrance. It is no justification for yielding to temptation and giving way to the flesh, not at all. Verse 18 says, "But if you're led by the Spirit, that is guided by the teachings of the Holy Spirit, ye are not under the law." Why does Paul say this in this connection? You're not under the law? For the encouragement of the churches of Galatia, and through them, to all Christians. He had just stated in the previous verse that because of the weakness, appetites, passions, and lust of the flesh, ye may not do the things that you would. And under the law of Moses, all such were condemned, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them," Galatians 3 and verse 10. Under the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and walking after the Spirit, they were not condemned by the Mosaic law. And now Paul begins to talk of the works of the flesh. Here we read them, Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." 15 things spelled out there for us that are called works of the flesh that we are not to do. The works of the flesh are manifest, that is, they're plainly seen and may be easily recognized. Walking after the flesh and walking after the Spirit are being contrasted by the apostle, and he clearly shows all how all may know which they are following. All who do the works of the flesh are not walking by the Spirit. Fornication, strictly speaking, is sexual intercourse on the part of an unmarried person with one of the opposite sex, whether married or unmarried. Adultery is a violation of the marriage bed or unlawful sexual intercourse of a married person with another, whether married or unmarried. If both the guilty parties are married, the act is a double adultery. Fornication often signifies adultery. Uncleanness is unnatural practice, self-abuse, bestiality, sodomy, etc. This sin was common among the heathens. Lasciviousness is a kind of unchastity. There may be some lascivious eyes and lascivious desires, for out of the heart cometh forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, railings. These are the things which defile a man, Matthew 15, 19 through 20. Then how important to heed the command, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life," Proverbs 4, 23. He who thinks no evil and indulges no impure and unholy feelings can keep his life clean and pure and righteous and holy. Idolatry is the worship of idols, embracing the idolatrous feast and rites of the worship of different gods and goddesses, such as Venus and Bacchus. Paul says covetousness is idolatry, Colossians 3 and verse 5. Jesus says in Matthew 6 and verse 24, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Sorcery is the use of magic, enchantment, and divination by the supposed assistance of evil spirits and witchcraft. The practice of sorcery was extensive, and its power great in many places, especially in Asia Minor. Enmities are the qualities which make enemies, hatred, ill will, and are opposed to kindness and brotherly love. Strife represents the acts of contention which enmities lead. Jealousies are painful feelings, anxious fear, and unfounding suspicions aroused in the heart over the excellency of others. Unholy desires and strife begin to excel one another. Rivalries, jealousy, never allows one to rejoice with them that rejoice, Romans 12:15, but on the other hand, makes one almost miserable. Zeal and jealousy come from the same word, and may be used in a good sense. We read in 2 Corinthians 11:2, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy," and we know that God is a jealous God. Wraths, they are broils and acts of vengeance. Factions, divisions, parties come in natural order. James 3 and verse 14 condemns bitter jealousy and faction in the heart and lying against the truth. A factious man, after the first and second admonition, refused, Titus 3 and verse 10, teaching a different doctrine from that of the New Testament, consenting not to sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine which is according to godliness, that is, which leads to godliness, and doting about questions and disputings of words, are factious and produce envy, strife, division, and parties. See 1 Timothy 6, 3-5. Christ's body, His church, is one, and it is a great sin against Him and men to divide the body into factions and contending parties over the opinions and ways and wisdoms and institutions of men. First come the factions, then the divisions, then the separate parties. Envyings are harmful and murderous feelings aroused in the heart over the excellencies and success of others. No feeling can be baser and more like Satan. Drunkenness is not simply reeling and staggering in the street, but indulgence in the use of intoxicating liquors. In many ways, in many places in the Bible, drunkenness is condemned. Revelings are carousals, a riotous and lascivious feast with dissolute songs and music. And someone says, "Well, they didn't mention my sin." Listen again. He ends this list of awful things by saying, "And such like. All other works of the flesh, not specified in the above list. Of which I forewarn you, brethren," that is, I tell you plainly, it says in the margin, "even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." As Paul had warned the Galatians before when with them, he now repeats the warnings in his letter. And as he warned the Galatians, he now solemnly warns all against such practices. All teachers and preachers should teach and warn against such now. But then we turn from the works of the flesh to the fruit of the Spirit, beginning in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23-24. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-controlled. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lust thereof." Let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit. It is interesting that the fruit is singular, and yet it mentions all these different things. They all come together as one delicious fruit of the Spirit that should characterize the Christian. And when we return to our next class, we'll go into more detail about this fruit.